Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's up, everybody? We hope you guys are having a great day so far. Welcome back to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. We are your hosts, Sway and Liz, and if you're new here and love true crime, scary stories, and more, make sure to add us to your favorites and tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a brand new episode.
And if you guys want to stay up to date with our latest, don't forget to follow us at Scaredy Cats podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K. So with all that being said, guys, before we jump into it, we do want to mention Scream 6 is coming out soon.
Mr. Ghostface.
Yes, and I'm getting even more excited than ever, and I've said this in previous episodes, guys, I'm a huge Scream fan. Like, that is my favorite slasher. At the beginning, I was kind of worried that they were gonna kind of, like, you know,
mess it up.
Yeah, like, mess up the whole thing. But I'm like, wow, this is gonna be pretty cool. And like, the newest trailer that they had dropped, you know, like a couple weeks back, I was like, okay, no, like, I'm getting ready for this. We do want to start watching some more scary movies, guys, and we've been super eager to find a really good one. So if you guys know of any, like, you know, recent scary movies that came out, or just any thriller movies that came out recently, definitely let us know in the comments on any of our social media pages, because we definitely like to hear from you guys. But with all that being said, should we just jump into it?
Let's just jump right into it. This story that we're going to be talking about gives me such an uneasy feeling. It's a case that truly made my jaw drop, given the details of how this lady was found. So before we start, we just want to give you guys a quick disclaimer. Certain parts of this case that we're going to be talking about might be too graphic for some listeners. So if it gets too much for you, feel free to click out and check out all of our other episodes. It's not like super graphic, but we just want to throw that out there just in case, but let's begin.
Now, a lot of you might not have heard of this case, but it has to do with the 59-year-old woman named Debbie Coyler, who lived in Georgia and was found deceased and charred in the middle of the woods on Sunday, September 11th of 2022. But the day before, she was caught on surveillance footage at a Family Dollar that was located an hour and a half away from where she lived, which was very odd because there was plenty of stores nearby her house, so why would she travel so far away? Debbie was said to have been picking up numerous supplies at the store, which later would be found in a red tote bag next to her dead body in the woods. Along with that, Debbie was sitting inside her car outside of the Family Dollar store when she sent her daughter Amanda an eerie text message, as well as an unusual yet large amount of money was sent to her through Venmo. We are going to be talking about what the text messages said and why the money sent was so odd later in this episode, but let's talk about Debbie and the events that occurred before her death, because they were very scary and mysterious.
So like we said, Debbie Coyler was a 59-year-old woman who lived in Athens, Georgia, and the populations of Athens is said to be about 100,000 people to 150,000 people. Athens is a college town and is home to the University of Georgia and the football team called the Georgia Bulldogs. This is important because it will play a big role later in the story, but on Saturday, September 10th, the day before Debbie's death, she was caught by a surveillance camera wearing a Georgia Bulldog shirt, and it said that she was a huge fan of the team, such like, you know, many other people in Athens were. Her husband that day was working, parking cars, and getting the event ready for the football game that would be taking place later that evening. An interesting detail you guys should know about is that Amanda, the daughter of Debbie, was said to have a very violent and criminal history. It was also reported that Amanda would make fake domestic violent calls to the police and falsely say she's a victim. She made these claims in 2008 all the way up to 2012, where she was also charged for criminal trespassing after attacking a man she was reportedly living with. Fast forwarding to May of 2021, Amanda was charged for filing a false report of a crime that included her boyfriend, whose name is Andrew. He was then later found guilty of the crime, but prosecutors later dropped the case when they caught Amanda lying and changing up her story. But there was a note that Amanda had that supposedly was written by Andrew that she showed the police, and it read in quotes, "If you and your family ever come near me, I will hurt them. Don't try to contact me ever again." And it is also confirmed that Amanda lived in Maryland, but she decided to move back to Athens, Georgia on Thursday, September 8th, 2 days before her mother went missing.
Aside from this crime, Andrew had a very violent and criminal history as well. He was charged with battery and several counts of disorderly conduct. He was given a DUI. On some instances, he was arrested and put in jail for 6 days, then released, but then would be arrested for reckless driving, and this time was put in jail for 10 days. After he was released, he was given probation, which he violated and was arrested again. So this guy was out here kind of just like wildin', but an important detail that will make sense later on is that in September of 2021, when the police stopped at Amanda's house, Andrew was claiming that Amanda was taking hard drugs and she would steal $600 from his paycheck every week. But the following day on September 9th, it was reported that Amanda was going to have lunch with her mother, Debbie, in which she invited Andrew to come with her as well. But by 9 p.m. at night, Debbie's husband, Steve Coyler, stated that this was the last time he saw her. You might be thinking, how? If they sleep together, right? But supposedly Steve said that they sleep in separate rooms because he snores and it bothers Debbie.
The interesting thing about this part of the story is that he said once he left the home to go to work, he didn't even go like say bye to his wife or anything. He just left. But he saw her car in the driveway, so he thought that she might have, you know, been sleeping in still. But later on in the investigation, when the police officer spoke to the neighbor of Debbie and Steve, she stated that on that night she heard shouts and screaming coming from the house. And keep in mind, Steve never stated an argument nor any sort of screaming happening that night. He just said they went to sleep and that was it. The following day, on September 10th, the day of Debbie's disappearance, Steve says that he woke up and got ready for work. And once he left, he saw Debbie's car parked in the driveway again, but he didn't see Debbie at all. He thought that she might have been sleeping in again, so he just left. And let me just say this, I don't mean this in any like disrespect. How come he doesn't check on his wife in the morning? I feel like that's, you know, and every person does that, whether you're the wife or the husband. I feel like you always say goodbye before leaving the house, or at least, you know, let them know that you're leaving. I just don't understand how he just gets up and just leaves for the, like, those last 2 days that she was alive.
I also feel though, like, it's kind of natural to, like, you know, say bye, yeah. Right? I don't know. That is kind of odd.
It is, right?
Yeah. Although Steve's story is a bit weird, on this day, September 10th, the day Debbie went missing, there's surveillance footage of Steve parking cars at work from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The first time Debbie was spotted this day was around 2:17 p.m. and she was heading to Tallulah Falls, which is an hour away from where they live. It looked as if she was in a hurry because she was speeding most of the way there. After she was captured on the camera, she was again caught on another surveillance camera at 2:55 walking to a Family Dollar in Clayton, Georgia, wearing the red Georgia Bulldog shirt we talked about earlier in this episode. It was reported by some sources that she was planning on going to the game later that evening. This is where investigators kind of go like, why? Because Debbie drove almost an hour to a Family Dollar in Clayton, Georgia, when there was about 5 Family Dollars in Athens and another 2 in nearby towns. But Debbie ends up spending a total of 15 minutes inside the store where she bought a variety of supplies. Those supplies were a 7.5 by 9.5 tarp, a rain poncho, refillable torch lighters, a reusable red tote bag, and 2 rolls of toilet paper. Honestly, like, even reading those supplies, I mean, a rain poncho, refillable torch lighters, that's kind of weird. I guess I would kind of assume some kind of thing like maybe camping, but still, it doesn't make sense, that list.
Right? But after she pays for the items, she gets into her car and sits inside of the car for approximately 10 minutes. During this time span, around 3:17 p.m., Amanda, Debbie's daughter, receives an amount of $2,385 through Venmo from Debbie's account, which is a very specific amount, but it was also attached with a message that reads, in quotes, "They aren't going to let me go. Love you. There is a key to the house in the blue flower pot by the door." Amanda states that she called her mother right after she received the money, but the call went directly to voicemail. She tried texting Debbie multiple times, but it seemed as if her phone was shut off right after the money was sent, because nothing was going through. When the investigators looked into her cell phone records, that indeed was the last time her phone ever pinged on any nearby cellular towers, meaning that her phone was shut off. A couple of minutes after this message was sent, as seen from the Family Dollar surveillance footage, she was seen leaving the parking lot and driving towards Athens. But the odd thing is that before she left the parking lot, she was circling around and just acting very weird and just stopping and then parking, and then she would reverse and then she'd circle around before she left. Just seeing her like kind of like play around the whole, you know, parking lot made me think like, what if somebody else was hiding inside the van and was telling her to do these things, and she was kind of like panicking and debating if she should like just run for it or even just follow what the person's telling her.
Yeah, that is pretty weird. But I kind of feel that like with this case, maybe something from her past caught up with them, you know, or from her family's past.
Yeah, true.
And like you said, that like maybe they followed her there, or maybe they even gave her directions like, hey, you need to come to this Family Dollar car, meet me here, and maybe that person was in the car, or maybe those were the exact directions that person told her to do before she left, you know. But I find this next part to be even more weird because it doesn't make sense to me. So investigators first began to look into Steve. They ended up confirming that during the time Debbie was leaving the Family Dollar, he was working parking cars. They confirmed this by surveillance cameras capturing Steve parking several cars and leaving work at 4 p.m. once the game started. But Steve would later call the police at 6 p.m. and reported Debbie missing. He stated that the car was gone, but she left her purse with her driver's license and credit cards. But at the Family Dollar, she was seen in the footage with her purse, and she obviously had a car to pay for the supplies she was getting.
What I find weird as well is that he just basically assumed that she was missing. Like, what if she forgot her purse, you know? Like, obviously she was missing, but his first thought was like, my wife is missing.
Yeah, and it makes it seem even more that like he might have known something, or their family got into something, you know, and that's where he's like, okay, like she's missing, like there's no doubt in my mind that she's missing. So I do agree with you there. But later in the investigation, we do find out that Amanda didn't tell Steve about this message until a few minutes after he got home, which is another weird thing about this, because why did she wait 2 hours to say anything? Why didn't she call her father Steve earlier and let him know? Not only that, Steve said that once he got home, Amanda was inside the house panicking. That following day, on September 11th, an officer stumbled across Debbie's van parked on the side of the road. Other people that drove past this road the day before recall already seeing it there around 5 p.m. The scary thing about the car is that Debbie drove out of the parking lot she was heading south towards Athens, but when the car was found on the side of the road, it was found northbound, the total opposite way.
The fact that Amanda was already inside the house when she has her own house, like, what was she doing there?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, she probably was waiting for her dad, but to me, it's just like, why didn't she call? I don't think there was any records of her trying to contact her dad at all. Just the fact that when he already got home, she was in his house.
Yeah, because like the mom told her where the key was, right? But why did she think about going to the house rather than calling the police or calling his dad and like kind of like showing it? Because the message is suspicious all around, you know, like they're not gonna let me go. Like, I if that was like I was put in that situation, I would call authorities right away.
Yeah, like it just makes me think, like, what like stopped her from calling the cops right after her mom wouldn't answer that message too? Like what? But authorities began to look through the woods, and they ended up finding Debbie partially nude on her back, tied up, grasping a tree, and her stomach and most of her front body was charred, almost as she was being cooked. The red tote bag she bought was found close to her body by a nearby hill, with all the supplies she had bought, along with her purse, which Steven said she supposedly left at home, and her phone, which was smashed and broken. I'm not sure if this has anything to do with it. Investigators did say that nearby the wooded area was a rehab center called Victory Home, and this rehab center was only for men. The interesting thing about this case is that police said it wasn't a kidnapping nor suicide, that it was a murder. After being unsuccessful on finding a suspect or any kind of evidence, authorities then ruled out that the death of Debbie Coyler was a suicide.
And I'm sure with cases like this, it's so frustrating because you have all these, you know, like loose ends. You have all these like confusing parts of the story that just don't necessarily connect. Mm-hmm. I think that given like, you know, the history of the family and like all the stuff that they had gone through and stuff, obviously something had happened. Like I keep saying and mentioning, you know, her past might have caught up with her, maybe her daughter, maybe something between the family had happened and they just didn't say anything about it.
Yeah. We're gonna go back to where the husband would say that she was stealing money out of his paycheck every week. I was thinking, if he was stating that she was actually on hard drugs are expensive. And to me, I'm thinking, what if she got into a debt with like the drug dealer or something and owed a lot of money? That's why she was stealing money from his paycheck, trying to pay it off. And maybe something went wrong where she wasn't paying it. So then now they came after her mom.
Yeah.
The eerie thing about the text message is that she says, "They aren't gonna let me go. Love you. There's a spare key next to the blue flower pot."
So that just shows that there's more than one person.
Yeah, but she's saying it almost as if Amanda should know who it is. She's not saying,
"Oh yeah,
this man's not letting me go," or "these random people took me," or "this lady trapped me, kidnapped me, is not letting me go. Here's the money, bye." She's saying they aren't letting me go.
Yeah,
almost as she's emphasizing that Amanda knows who these people are, and that's what I found weird. And honestly, I don't think think the rehab thing could probably have anything to do with it, because I don't think they found anybody that was, you know, around that area into the woods at that time, because they did speak to the rehab center, but they just ruled it out as a suicide. But I mean, the husband said that she left her purse, and then her purse is found at the crime scene. Like, shouldn't they be looking into that more? But they just closed the case saying that she committed suicide. But then I'm thinking, how is she gonna be able to tie herself to this? Like, it's gonna sound brutal, but she would have to have started a fire, tied this tree trunk, whatever thing she was like tied on, then get on the tree trunk, tie her arms, and just basically burn herself. When she said they, it was multiple people that did this to this lady, but unfortunately they were unsuccessful finding any trace of evidence, DNA or anything, to say that it was somebody. So they just ruled it out as a suicide. And I think that's just, if it is, then it is, and it's sad. But either way, it's just like, I feel like they should investigate it even more.
And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I will say it, I think it's pretty sloppy on the police, you know, on the investigator side.
Yeah.
Because it does, like you said, it seems like, you know, a murder, and I'm pretty sure that anyone else would agree, especially after, you know, reading the details and hearing about the story. So overall, I definitely think it was a murder, and, you know, this poor lady didn't get her justice, you know.
Yeah.
So like, maybe the killer was still out there, you know. Yeah. Even is, because this happened in 2022. Yeah.
Our condolences go out to the family and all that. Like we said, we're not trying to bash them on this episode or anything. It's just, we're just looking at, you know, the records, things that are filed, things that were said on the news outlets and stuff. But I do believe it was reported that the family said that she was murdered. So like we said, our condolences go out to the family, and it's just such a sad, tragic thing that happened to this lady. Honestly, when I read through this, it was just giving me chills, and like the evidence that they found, and just, it's like the way she was found is just honestly gives me chills. Like, that is something like so sinister and evil if somebody did that to her.
Yeah, guys, it's honestly so terrible. I think the story definitely deserves more, you know, like attention, because even I didn't know about it, you know. So like, it's just, it's one of those stories that was kind of like pushed down, you know. But
yeah. And it was pretty interesting too, because I had heard nothing about this story until I saw a TikTok. Like, that sounds interesting, let me check into it. Didn't realize that it literally happened last year.
Yeah, so it's really recent. But yes, you guys, let us know what you guys' thoughts are on this story. Like, what you think. Do you think it was murder, or do you think that what they ruled, you know, was a possibility, you know, whatnot? But thank you guys so much for joining us today on this spooky episode. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review letting us know what you loved about it. We would really appreciate it. But without further ado, we are out.
Peace.